It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad you're a part of it tonight. Please stay tuned as we go to God's Word to find out what His will is for us in our lives. We're glad that you've joined us on this Thursday night, and we hope you'll take a minute to participate in the program. You can do so by giving us a call at 931-381-4567, by emailing us questions at collegeview.com, or by using the Skype button on our website. Those are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. My father, Greg Wynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to be with you on the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We're looking forward to a good period of Bible study, and we're thankful for our regular participants who join us on Thursday night. We're glad you're out there listening. We might mention before we get into our study for the night that we've been having a good bit of both computer trouble and website trouble over the last few weeks, and we're not completely home free yet.
How about now? Okay, we got it now. We're back, and sorry for that delay. That was a problem on my mixer there.
So what did we hear there, Jacob? I'm not sure.
We didn't hear anything, so you might go ahead and say we had some computer issues.
Well, we're dealing with some computer issues. Apparently, we're still dealing with some computer issues. And
These are not computer issues tonight, but we're fine.
We may have dropped off. Our stream may have dropped off to you there. By the way, if you ever lose the stream, you don't have to log back on. If you'll just keep hitting the play button on your media player, that should get you back and listening to what we're saying. So I apologize for that. We were just saying that Phil Hunt at Webcast Fusion, our good friend up in Nashville, our friend and brother Phil Hunt, has been a big help to us, and we appreciate him very much. We're on getting all our computer and website problems solved. We've had both, and hopefully within the next few days we'll have our computer problems fixed, and Phil has really been good helping us with our website problems, and so we appreciate his work.
Well, you know, we've got three computers in this room right now, and I guess to fix our problem, we're going to get four computers, so we could have problems all over the place. But we're hopefully going to get these resolved. But we're glad that you're a part of the program tonight. We've got an interesting discussion planned for tonight. We want to talk about our worship to God. Now, a lot of times we talk about what we should do in our worship, the types of acts of worship that we could participate in. For instance, we believe we should sing when we worship. We believe we should pray when we worship. We believe we should take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, have a collection of our means given by the saints on the first day of the week. We believe that preaching should be involved in that worship. We talk about those acts of worship a lot, and I believe we've even talked about some of those on the Virtual Bible Study before. But tonight we want to take a little bit different angle, a different approach to the discussion of worship, and talk about our attitude and the way that we worship God. I believe it's very important. You know, there's a big emphasis in the religious world today on a worship experience. And what a worship experience is that experience that would evoke or promote some type of feeling within the worshiper. And that is a big focus we see in the religious world today, that people want a worship experience. And so as a result of this desire to have a worship experience, praise teams have been developed in which elaborate multimedia presentations are presented to evoke some type of effect in the worshiper. Contemporary worships have been developed. And even I've noticed, Dad, I got an ad in the mail not too long ago where a church near me has developed a coffee shop for people to worship in, a relaxed atmosphere where you can go, and it's much like a coffee shop where you can have your coffee and relax on comfortable chairs in a relaxed atmosphere, and you can worship God there in that coffee shop type of environment. That's a big focus in the religious world today.
Yeah, in fact, we've already got an email in on this from our friend Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, we're glad you're listening tonight. He said he sends an example of a Presbyterian church. And I think this must be in Nashville, probably. It says, and it talks about contemporary music, the 5:05, which apparently is a service that meets at 5:05 in the afternoon on Sundays. The 505 is a dynamic worship service which fuses contemporary musical style and instrumentation with a message that is classically grounded in biblical truth, spoken for this generation through word, song, drama, media, interaction, and prayer. And then it talks about that a little bit. And at the end, it says, following the 505 service, enjoy a great dinner meal and fellowship at the Bistro. If you're a first-timer, drop by the information table for a free pass to dinner. For more information about the music ministry, including choirs and upcoming events, you're told who to contact. And so Mike has sent us an example of the kind of things that are going on, and that's some of what we want to talk about tonight. Really, our discussion... Jacob was probably the idea for such a discussion was sparked by an email that I got from a good friend from years ago in college days. He lives in Missouri now, and he's been listening to the virtual Bible study. Randy, we're glad that you've found us, and we're glad that you're listening. He sent an email this week, and he said, at what point is a church service too chaotic? And he said some where he worships had been discussing this. And some of the questions that were asked, is it okay to worship however I want, even if it's distracting to others? Can we apply the principle of 1 Corinthians 14:33 to church meetings in general, not just to tongues and prophesying? Are such things as hand-raising, dancing, running up and down the aisles, jumping up and down, flag-waving, etc., too chaotic? If such things are okay during the singing time, are they okay during the sermon also? Is it okay to yell amen, hallelujah, praise God, etc. during the sermon? So our friend Randy in Missouri has sent that question, and I think those are good questions and worthy of discussion. And so that's what we want to kind of get some input from our listeners tonight. What do you think about these kind of contemporary worship services in which there's a whole lot of various activity ongoing by various attendees at the worship service? There's sort of spontaneous things, outbreaks of praise and hand clapping, and even as Randy mentioned, running up and down and jumping up and down. What about those kind of things? What's your take on that? We want to talk about worship tonight and try to get a handle on, as you said, Jacob, the kind of attitudes we should have as we approach worship.
You know, one question Randy asked there, he says, is it okay to worship however I want, even if it is distracting to others? So that's one question. Can I worship if it is distracting to others, if I want to worship any way that I want to? Another question is, can I worship any way that I want, even if it doesn't distract others? If everyone agrees that this is okay, can I worship any way that I want if it evokes some type of experience in me where I somehow feel that I'm closer to God as a result of this worship experience that I experience? What do you think about that? Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567. questions@collegeu.com, or use the Skype button on our website to join in on the discussion tonight. As we talk about our worship and our attitude, how should we be worshiping God today? What about contemporary worship? What are your thoughts about that? Let us know. What about hand clapping, flag waving, jumping and dancing, as we've talked about? What do you think about that? Let us know your thoughts on the program tonight. You know, it's important as we begin the discussion to notice that it is possible to worship God in a way that's not pleasing to Him. I think a lot of people in the religious world today believe that if we're worshiping God and we're sincere, that it is okay. God will accept anything that you do as long as you call it worship and you direct it towards Him. But it is very clear from the Bible, throughout the pages of the Bible, that it is possible to worship God in a way that's not pleasing to Him, in a way that He will not be pleased with. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's a formula we see there in John chapter 4, verse 24. If we want our worship to be pleasing to God, it must have spirit and truth. It must be done in spirit and in truth. And we may look at how that could be done. Some people may overemphasize the fact that it has to be done in truth, that you've got to do everything by the formula that God has laid out, and that is absolutely the truth. But if we don't have it, we don't do it with our spirit or with our attitude in the right place, then it won't be pleasing to God either. We've got to have both. We have to have our spirit and our truth in the right place.
I think that's right. If you were to eliminate either one of those necessary aspects, in other words, we are absolutely in line with truth, we're worshiping just exactly as the New Testament prescribes, but our hearts are not in it. We're not dedicated. We're not sincere. We just don't have any real emotion. It's not heartfelt. Then God's not going to accept that worship. On the other hand, if we have plenty of zeal, emotion, enthusiasm, sincerity, but we're not careful to follow what the Bible authorizes, then that's not acceptable either. And so for worship to be acceptable to God, John 4:24, that's a very key verse in a discussion like this. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We got to have both aspects.
Well, and that is important for us to emphasize the fact that God says if we're going to worship him, we've got to worship him this way. We can't worship God just any way that we please. It is possible for us to worship God in a way that he's not pleased with, if we don't follow the rules that he's given us.
That's a key word in that verse. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's not optional. That's absolutely necessary. You know, I think we've got a good example of this, Jacob. And by the way, let's get your input. You who are listening, give us a call, 931-381-4567, or send us an email, questions@collegeview.com. Our regular email address is working tonight, questions@collegeview.com. Send us an email question. We'd be glad to get your input here. What's your take on worship? What's your take on some of the modern innovations of worship? What is your thinking about the fact that we might worship in any way we please? What do you think about that? And what do you think about some of the potentially distracting or disruptive or disorderly things that are becoming in vogue in religious services today? Give us some feedback on that. Give us your thoughts, or maybe an experience, or maybe document a case that you've heard about somewhere near where you live. But let's look at an Old Testament example of the fact that God does reject worship that's not done properly. And I'd like to reference 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul was the king of Israel, and God had commanded the armies of Israel to take punishment upon the people of Amalek, the Amalekites, and their king Agag. Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Typically, when nations went to war in those times, one of the reasons for warring was that you would bring back the spoil or the loot, the bounty from the people that you had defeated. But in this case, God said to utterly destroy the Amalekites and not to keep any spoil or bounty from their victory over those people. And so Saul went to battle, take the armies of Israel to battle. They were victorious. But when they came out, 1 Samuel 15, verse 13, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." So King Saul said, "I did what I was told to do." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" They had brought back, at least had brought back some of the animals from the people that they had defeated. And Samuel said, "If you've obeyed, why am I hearing these animals?" So Saul had an excuse. In verse 15, he said, "They," speaking of the people have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." And so Samuel's answer, "Well, we basically did what we were told, but we decided we would spare some of the animals. We're going to have a great big sacrifice. We're going to have a huge, well, what we would say, Jacob, is we're going to have a big worship service. We're going to sacrifice all these animals we brought back from the Amalekites. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I mean, we're going to have a sacrifice service like you never saw before.
And we're going to focus on God. We're going to give God lots of praise and lots of sacrifices. Boy, there's going to be sacrifices all over the place to God. Surely that would be a good thing."
Yeah. Notice what Samuel said in response to that. 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 and 21. Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed. The king Saul still tries to argue he's obeyed. "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, verse 22, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." And so here, even though the argument was, the reason we're doing this is because we intend to worship and praise and sacrifice to God, it's going to be a wonderful thing, bring glory to his name, Samuel said, God's not interested in that. God's more interested in obedience than that. And so there's a principle here, and I think clearly in this Old Testament example, Jacob, we see that we can't just worship God any way we want. If it transgresses the commandments of God, it's wrong. Worship by our design in violation to his commands is not acceptable to him. Now, obviously, we live under a different time. We don't make animal sacrifices anymore. But the nature of God and his and the way he views obedience and service has not changed, and he desires obedience.
That's right. We must be obedient. We must worship God as he would have us to worship him, or he won't be pleased. That's the simple facts. We've looked at a couple examples. There's many more that we can look at, but we would like to hear from you. What do you think about worshiping God? How should it be done? How can we make sure that God is pleased with our worship, that it is the type of worship we should be offering to God? Let us know your thoughts. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Call us at 931-381-4567 or use the Skype button on our website to contact us on the program tonight. We'll take a short break, and then we'll continue the discussion right after this. Stay tuned.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Tonight on Channel 8 WSIN, it's TV like you've never seen it before. Starting at 8, it's TV's funniest new comedy, Fornication in the City, and Marie has been misbehaving again.
Guess what? I just cheated on my husband. He doesn't even know about it.
And then at 8:30, it's the show that's setting the standard. You won't want to miss this week's I Love This World, where Bob makes a great announcement.
Well, I think it's time you knew the truth. I'm gay.
And at 9 o'clock, it's the show that Television Magazine has called the number one drama for murder and violence. You won't want to miss this week's In Cold Blood to see who will be the next to be gunned down. It all starts tonight at 8 o'clock on Channel 8 WSIN.
I'm Greg Gwynn, reminding you that sin is a terrible thing and that those who are entertained by watching others sin fall under the condemnation of God that is mentioned in Romans 1:28. Be careful what you watch on television, because in spite of what the devil wants you to think, sin is always sin and it's never funny.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we look forward to your comments as we talk about the important subject of worshiping God. We need to be worshiping God, and we need to be doing it in a way that is acceptable to him. The question then is, how can we worship God in a way that we know is acceptable to him? Let us know your thoughts. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Call us at 931-381-4567 or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight. Well, Dad, we've looked at some examples. We've shown the fact that God demands that we worship him as he is prescribed, that we can worship God in a way that's not pleasing to him. Notice also the people in Amos chapter 2, beginning of verse 6, we notice the Israelites were being immoral and living a life that wasn't pleasing to God. In chapter 2 of the book of Amos, verse 6 beginning, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. And then over in chapter 5, verse 10, the immoral life of the Israelites is shown again. Amos chapter 5, beginning of verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. We see that the children of Israel were living a very immoral life, much like many people in the world today. But, you know, they still wanted to worship God. And notice God's response to their worship. They were living an immoral life, but they were worshiping God. In Amos chapter 5, verse 21 beginning, I hate I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. God wasn't pleased with the worship, Dad, and you know, I think God probably is not pleased with the worship of a lot of Americans today as they live immoral lives like the children of Israel, and yet they still want to worship God. God probably is telling, would want to tell them, take it away from me, I don't want
to
hear it.
Yeah, so what you're able to document there in Amos, and by the way, it's kind of interesting, we just studied last Sunday morning in our Bible class here at College View, the book of Amos, and it's clear that they were really not living right at all, didn't have the right attitudes, weren't doing the right things, and yet they were still engaging in acts of worship, thinking that as long as we keep going through the motions, maybe God will be happy with us. And he clearly was not happy. He would not accept that worship. So that's just another example of the fact that that it's possible to worship God. What we're really trying to illustrate here with these examples, a couple Old Testament examples here, is that historically people have tried to worship God and he has not accepted it. His nature hasn't changed. If we don't worship him properly, he will not accept our worship. A lot of people think that as long as it's worship, As long as I call it worship, I can do whatever I want to do, and God will be glad to receive it from me. And that's just not the case. If we understand the history of God's dealings with people, that is not the case. In fact, we might reference one more Old Testament example, Jacob, from the book of Deuteronomy. God warned Israel when they were entering into the land of Canaan that they should avoid the idolatrous and pagan worship of the people who had been there, that they were driving out. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 2 beginning, "You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things." In other words, God said, I don't want you trying to worship me by going to the places and using the devices of the people of the land that you're driving out. So he said, don't worship me that way. There were ways that they could possibly worship that would not be acceptable to God. And so over and over again in the Old Testament, Jacob, what we're seeing is that there's worship that God simply would not receive.
That's right. He didn't want him worshiping in the places where idolatrous worship had taken place. We see, though, a lot of people, though, in the religious world today are worshiping God in places that they shouldn't be worshiping God. You know, I've heard of, Dad, of worship services that are going on inside bars. They're worshiping God inside of taverns and bars. Don't think that God would be pleased with that. He said that there's some places where he doesn't want to be worshipped. He didn't want to be worshipped where that idolatrous worship had been taking place.
And that just goes to the point that people have developed the idea, somehow they've accepted the mistaken idea that God will accept anything we offer to him by way of worship. You know, it's almost the idea that God is just sort of waiting with bated breath. I mean, somehow his existence depends upon having mortal humans to offer acts of worship to him, and he's so needy in this regard that he'll just take anything we throw his direction, any bone, any crumb that we throw toward God, he'll just receive it because that's how desperately he's in need of worship. God doesn't need our worship, and he's not going to accept it either if it's not done in accordance with his will. I think the Old Testament examples we've cited make that very clear.
Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com, or Skype the virtual Bible study tonight. We need to hear from you on the program. What do you think about contemporary worship? What do you think about the idea that we can worship God any way that we please? Let us know your thoughts.
Have you got some examples, some things that you've seen maybe in your own community about the way people are worshiping God? You know, this we've said that there's sort of a current trend in regards to these things, but Chris in Lewisburg, Tennessee, has sent a reference that he got from the book J.D. Tant, Texas Preacher, talking about a meeting in Texas in 1886, and he said it was the first reference that he ever heard to the idea of clapping hands in an assembly. they sang the song All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. They had taken actually a majority vote. They had taken a vote on an issue. And at the end of that, they sang All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name amidst cheering, stamping of feet, and clapping of hands. This song was sung. And so, you know, we think that maybe this is a new trend. And I do think it's a growing, it's a current and growing trend, but it's not necessarily absolutely new. It's been going on for a while. That reference to a meeting over 100 years ago down in Texas where they were doing some of the same things. Thanks, Chris, for that note.
Well, what about the clapping? You know, that's a good question. What about it? How would you say that you're for it? How would you defend it? How would you say that it is not pleasing to God? How would you answer the question, can we clap in our worship? That's one to consider. Let us know how you would answer that question. Well, we've talked about some Old Testament examples, and the instructions about our worship continue in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." There's an instruction there. We see that it would be possible to worship God in vain if we don't follow the instructions that God has given us about our worship. Clearly, some worship that would be unacceptable to God if it's not in accordance with the instructions God has given us.
You know, that's a key passage there, Matthew 15, 8 and 9 that you just read, Jacob, and it says, "In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In vain they worship. The word vain means worthless or good for nothing, and so their worship is worthless, good for nothing. Well, what makes it so? They're teaching the doctrine for doctrines, the commandments of men, Jesus said. And so when we leave the Word of God, and when we don't adhere to the authority of His teachings, then it renders our worship in vain. And that would very much answer the question, you know, back to the question that we were asked, is it okay to worship however I want, even if it's distracting to others? Well, the answer to that is, take out the part about distracting others or not. No, it's not okay to worship how you want. Because if your worship is not in accordance with the Word of God, then it's in vain. It's worthless. It's good for nothing.
That's right. Well,
maybe another verse we'd throw in here, Jacob. Colossians 2:18 says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Notice Paul warns that the worship of a wrong thing can cheat you of your reward. Actually, let no one cheat you of your reward. And it talks about the worship of angels. Well, no, you'll be cheated of your reward if someone talks you into worshiping angels, he said. Well, the worship of angels is nowhere taught or authorized in the Bible. So that would be a form of worship, some kind of an innovation, a change that someone introduced. And Paul said it's possible that doing that sort of thing will cheat you of your eternal reward. That's a dangerous warning for sure. So putting all that together, Jacob, I think the thing that we conclude is that there are surely forms of worship that God's not pleased with. And again, we go back to the verse that we sort of started out, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If our worship's going to be acceptable, it's got to be in truth. That is, it's got to be in accordance with what he teaches in his word. It has to be with the right spirit, sincere, dedicated, devoted, zealous. But there's got to be a combination of the two. Either one without the other will not satisfy.
So it is possible to worship God in a way that's not pleasing to him. Then how should we worship God? Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567. questions@collegeview.com or Skype the virtual Bible study tonight. I just noticed it's time for another break. So take this time during the break to get your thoughts together and send them to us. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. It just might find that it's easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College View Church of Christ.
Hello, my name is Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday night.
Broadcasting around the world with truths that are out of this world. The virtual Bible study. Take it away, guys.
And the virtual Bible study is back. Thanks for joining us tonight. And we're talking about worship. We see it's clear that we must worship God in a way that's pleasing to Him, because it is possible to worship God in a way that He's not pleased. We want to avoid that at all costs. So how then should we be worshiping God? Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com or Skype the virtual Bible study tonight. 931-381-4567 is the number that George in Bowling Green, Ohio called. Hello, George. Welcome to the program.
Hello. In regard to the verse you just read about when Jesus says, "For in vain do you worship me when you keep your commandments, the doctrine of men." That is so specific, and it's very strong in my background. I obeyed the Lord, was baptized into His body in 1947, and I came from Judaism. And that particular verse has a lot of significant meaning. A lot of people don't realize that that Judaism had added 1,131 amendments to the original law. And at this time, I would be very surprised if not that Jesus was referring to those things at the time, where those were the doctrines of men that they were obeying at that time and trying to enforce upon people. And I think it's very significant. That's why I wanted to bring that out at the time.
Well, George, we know that is true, that the Jews in the day of Jesus had incorporated a lot of their traditions and bound them equivalent with God's law. In other words, to those Pharisees, in order to be faithful, you had to observe not only the law of Moses, but also their human traditions. And Jesus said, when you add things to the Word of God, when you require things, when you follow things different from the Word of God, it renders your worship in vain. And I think you're probably right. Jesus was speaking to those Jews, and that was their current practice back there in the first century. And the parallel is that we've got people today doing the same things.
Well, we have too much today, and I know it reflects in sometimes in the body of Christ itself, and I think we all have seen that, where we want to advance ourselves numerically, and we incorporate ways of the world into the church.
I think that's exactly right. There's a strong desire for more numbers, and people will compromise in order to bring in numbers, and that's always a mistake when that happens. And we can track that through the Bible and see that God has consistently insisted upon obedience, even when it means that our numbers are less, if we're going to be obedient.
That's right. I'll say amen to that.
And George, you talked about the amendments that the Jews had back in their day. How many amendments do you think there would be in the religious world today?
Oh, they would outnumber the Jews.
I think you're right, George.
That was 1,131, and that was a tremendous amount. But they far outdo it today.
Exactly right. George, thanks for your call from Ohio. Glad you're listening tonight.
Thank you. 931-381-4567 is the number to call. Questions at collegeview.com is the email address to use. The Skype button is working tonight, we believe, as well. Skype the virtual Bible study. Join in with the program over the Internet tonight as well.
Got an email from Jared in Cookeville. Jared, we're glad you're listening. He asked a question. Do you think denominations will ever offer worship via video streaming over the Internet with webcams and credit card payments on the net for weekly offerings? I could see them doing that. I suspect that if you looked hard enough, you could probably find that already. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I would argue that would be an innovation not acceptable by virtue of the fact that we're not together. The part of worship is the coming together, the assembling. Even a familiar verse like Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so we can't do that by proxy or from a distance. We have to assemble. We have to come together.
And it would be easy to do when the worship service does not require the participation of the audience, but we believe that the worship service, as instructed by God, requires the participation of the audience, and so doing that over the Internet would limit that.
I think that's a good point to make. Worship is not a spectator sport. You don't come and watch it. You come and participate in it by joining in the authorized acts of worship that you mentioned earlier, Jacob. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting thought. Good question, Jared. Glad you're listening tonight.
The streaming thing is intriguing, but not authorized, perhaps. 931-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. Let us know your thoughts tonight on the virtual Bible study. Well, the other thing that we need to understand is that the object of our worship is God. It's not ourselves. And that may be where a lot of people in the religious world today have gone astray. A lot of people, when they come to worship, want to focus on themselves and what they get out of the worship experience. They're looking for something that's fun and entertaining, something that is pleasing to them, something that they can leave from and feel like they had some type of experience that was beneficial to them, not necessarily to God. It appears that many in the religious world today have forgotten that our worship is all about God and it's not all about ourselves, as they have focused on themselves and what they get out of worship. Dad, we see just the opposite of that in the scriptures, that worship is not all about us. Instead, it's all about God and being pleasing to Him.
I think that's right. I think this is really a key point of our discussion. You know, we're going back to the question that sparked our study tonight. Can I worship any way that I please? And can I engage in all kinds of things if it's what satisfies myself? We got to remember that worship is about God. It's not about us. And notice just some passages. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Psalms 86:9, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Psalm 99:9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to them, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We remember that from the temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4. We're commanded to worship the Lord God, and it's about serving him. If we think of his greatness and awesomeness, if we think of his power and majesty, we ought to be humbled to want to do what he desires, and what we want shouldn't even factor into the equation. What we like or desire, you know, through the years I've had people say, I just don't get anything out of that, or, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of the worship. Well, you know, that attitude expresses it's about me. It's about what pleases me, when worship is about pleasing God and worshiping the Almighty Creator of the universe. We've got to do that. We're told to worship God only. Exodus 20:3, you shall have no other gods before me. Judges 10:13, yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more, God said. So if we make ourselves the focal point of worship, by focusing on our own pleasure, making it centered around our desires, our wishes, what we like or don't like, are we not placing ourselves before God? And that's just completely contrary to the concept of worshiping God.
You know, it appears that many, maybe most in the religious world, when they're trying to decide how to conduct a worship service, ask the question, and the only question is, how does it make me feel? How does this worship make me feel? What does this worship do for me? You know, God doesn't present those types of questions to us in the Bible. He says we should worship him. He doesn't tell us that we should do it in a way that makes us happy or a way that makes us feel a certain way. He simply says to worship him. He is the object of our worship. It's not about us. It's about God. What do you think? 931-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. Let us know your thoughts tonight.
I'd still like some of those who are listening, if you will, send us an email or give us a phone call. Give us some examples that you've heard of, maybe something that you've seen in your own community where it illustrates the point we're trying to make, is how people are changing worship to appeal to men rather than to honor God. I think that's an accurate way to say it, because honoring God comes by submitting to his will. Back to the example of King Saul. He was going to worship God. He was trying to argue, I can do this because it's going to be a great worship to God. And Samuel said, God's more interested in obedience than sacrifice.
And again, it is possible to worship God in a way that's not pleasing to him. And so if we don't have the object of our worship right, if it's about us and about pleasing us, and maybe it makes us feel great, maybe we leave encouraged, doesn't mean that God's accepting our worship. We see very clearly that if we do not worship God, and if he's not the focus of our worship, he won't be pleased.
Exactly right.
All right, 931-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. are the ways to participate tonight. You know, it's important that we understand that we do not want to please ourselves, and in order to be pleasing to God, worshiping is not about pleasing ourselves. Notice in Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, talking about the Pharisees, they were condemned, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogues. They were using public worship to please themselves, to get some type of public praise and honor from men, and God was not happy with that. That worship was unacceptable to him. We see here that if we're doing it for our benefit, our pleasure, to be seen of men, worship, again, is not pleasing to God.
Those Pharisees were actually doing it so that they would be praised rather than God would be praised. Well, that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Some of these modern worship tendencies are for the praise of men rather than praise of God.
Well, we see that. When people put themselves up on stage in some type of performance and where the focus is on them, that people will praise them for the way that they've worshiped God. Similar to what the Pharisees were doing here, where they wanted people to praise them for the way they were worshiping.
And, you know, that might go to this question of hand clapping. You know, a lot of what we're seeing in these contemporary worship services are performances. In the email that Mike sent to us earlier, let me see if I can find that again. I've kind of lost that. Let me see here. It talked about worshiping God through song, drama, media, interaction. Well, someone gets up and sings a song, or someone acts out a drama. You know what they do at the end of that?
They clap.
They clap. They give applause. Well, who's being praised with that applause? The person who sang the song, the ones who acted out the drama. Who's receiving the praise in that regard? Not God. The ones who actually did the performing. And so I think that's part of the problem with that, and that's part of what we've got to keep in mind.
Very good points. 931-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com. We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight.
Jacob, we've got another instance where we know some people who followed the Lord for selfish reasons. In other words, they were doing it because what they could get out of it. I'm referencing an incident that we've talked about before on the virtual Bible study in John chapter 6. Jesus fed the multitudes. And one day they had been following him and he fed them. The next day he saw them following him again and he actually rebuked them because he perceived, he could read their hearts. And in John 6 verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." So in this instance, Jesus saw that their motives were selfish, and he rebuked them for it.
But now they were there with Jesus. They were there listening to his teachings. Certainly Jesus would have been pleased with that, right? He'd say, well, they do want to eat, but at least they're getting to hear a good message. Was he pleased?
Apparently not. And he rebuked them for what they, and he didn't feed them, by the way, which is a point that we've made before when we looked at that text. Some people think that, you know, we can draw people with food and then we'll teach them after we've drawn them with food. Jesus never did that, and this is a clear case that he would not do that. But what we're using that passage tonight to show is that when worship becomes self-centered, when it's about us and about satisfying something that we crave, instead of focusing on God and offering him honor and glory and praise, then it's coming from the wrong attitude. And remember the verse that we're building our study on, John 4, verse 24, our worship must be in spirit and in truth. So we've got a wrong attitude. The spirit of worship is wrong if it seeks to please men rather than God.
Let us know your thoughts. One more break, and we go to the top of the hour, talking about our worship and how we should worship God in a way that we're sure he's pleased with. Let us know your thoughts during this break by sending us an email to questions@collegeview.com, by calling us on the telephone at 931-381-4567, or by using the Skype button on our website. We'll take this break and then we'll be back. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Do you remember when churches insisted on Bible authority for everything they did? Can you recall when church members always expected a thus saith the Lord? Remember when the church was well known for its book, chapter, and verse style of teaching and preaching? Are you upset because the church you're attending doesn't approach things this way anymore? Does it concern you that elders and preachers don't seem to care about Bible authority at all? The College View Church is still striving to do everything according to the New Testament pattern. If you're looking for a church like the one you remember from the past, please visit the College View Church of Christ.
I'm Troy Smith, and now I'm 13 years old.
I'm Mike Smith. I'm Troy's dad, and we love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study every Thursday night.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the virtual Bible study.
Welcome back to the virtual Bible study. Thank you for joining us tonight on the program. We want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you have any questions about the College View Church of Christ, please visit our website for more information or call us anytime at 931-381-4567. Or you can use the email address we use on the program 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, questions@collegeview.com. If you have any question that you'd like to discuss with us, if you disagree with us about anything that we might say, or if you just agree with us, let us know. We'd love to hear from you anytime. Let us know your thoughts. Also, Dad, also we might let our listeners know if there's a question they think might be good for discussion on the virtual Bible study. That's what we're doing tonight. We're discussing one of our listeners' suggestions for a topic. Let us know that by sending us an email or giving us a call.
And let me give our listeners a heads up also, Jacob, about something that we'll offer here within a week or two. Well, hopefully within the next week, because they're at the printer right now. Every year we put out a Bible reading calendar, and we're going to do that again this year. And we've got a Bible reading schedule, and it's actually printed on the calendar so that you can mark off the days. You can read through the New Testament, or you can read through the Old Testament. You can read through the whole Bible by following those daily Bible readings. I really like the way it's laid out. It's laid out to where you have five Bible readings per week, gives you a couple days. If you miss a day, you can catch up. It also reads you through the Bible in chronological order. Instead of just starting at Genesis and reading through to Revelation, it takes you through the Bible in historical, chronological order. There's a really good reading schedule. And so if any of you who are listening are interested in that, if you'll send us an email to questions@collegeview.com and give us your snail mail address, we'll be sure to get one of those Bible reading calendars in the mail to you as soon as we have them back from the printer.
Free of charge, we'd like to provide you with one of these calendars. It would assist you in your Bible study. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com with your mailing address, and we'll be glad to provide you with one of those calendars. We're talking about our worship tonight on the virtual Bible study, and we've noted that if we don't worship God like He's prescribed, He won't be pleased with our worship. He won't be pleased with our worship, Dad, if our worship is all about serving us instead of about serving God. How then can we do this? How could we worship God in a way that's self-serving and not God-serving?
In other words, our point has been, if it's about us, it's wrong. It's got to be about God. It's got to be according to His will. So maybe some examples would serve them. And if you're listening, if you've got some examples of what you've heard of, give us a call. What do you think, Jacob?
Well, one of the ways we could worship and serve ourselves instead of serving God would be to not teach God's truth in its entirety. If we were to pick and choose the things that we taught and the things that we accepted from God's word, we'd obviously be serving ourselves and not serving God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, people are condemned with this attitude where we read, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables." There's some people who are serving themselves, doing what they wanted to do, accepting the things that were convenient from God's word and not listening to the things that were inconvenient. God wasn't pleased with their service.
You know, and I think we see examples of that. A certain preacher is a popular preacher because he tells funny stories and he preaches feel-good sermons all the time. I'm not saying that feel-good sermons are necessarily bad, but when you have a steady diet of that, you're not getting the whole counsel of God. And so here are people, and they've chosen this brand of worship. They've chosen this place of worship because the preacher tickles their itching ears and gives them things pleasant that they like to hear instead of preaching to them the whole counsel of God's truth. And so, you know, people clearly, lots of people are making their religious choices on that basis today, and they're therefore centering on self rather than centering on God. If we're really interested in worshiping God and serving Him faithfully, we want to know everything that He has to say to us.
We don't want sermons that are just about the things that we agree about. We want the sermons that have things that we need to correct in our lives. That's what's pleasing to God.
We got an email from George. In fact, this is George who called us a little bit earlier, and I think he's right. He says, "Simon the Sorcerer is an example of trying to use the Lord for his own gain." He references Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. And he even tried to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost where he could impart spiritual gifts like the apostles did, and wanted to no doubt do that for his own gain. So he was seeking to please self rather than God. I think George is exactly right. Simon the Sorcerer would be an example.
Thank you for emailing us, George. The email address to use is questions@collegeu.com. Plenty of time to take your email or give us a call, 931-381-4567.
You know, some of the ways that we can demonstrate that we're centering our worship on self or on man rather than on God is the argument that it must feel good to me. In other words, if I don't get a good feeling out of it, then I'm not satisfied with worship. And if it feels good, then it must be right. You know, how often have you talked to people who went to a worship of some sort, some denominational group or whatever, and they came back, it was just so thrilling. It made me feel so good. Well, if the test of worship is how it makes you feel, then that's, you know, an indication that you're centering on self rather than centering on God. And we'd go back to John 4:24, saying that we must worship him in a proper spirit and in truth. It's not enough just to have a right spirit. It's got to be done in truth.
That's right. And another way that we can serve ourselves and not be pleasing to God is maybe doing worship in a way that's just habitual, that we just do things that out of habit, without any thought. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, we read instructions from Christ, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." If our worship is just repetitious and it doesn't have any thought to it, it is just a habit and repetitious, then we see that God won't be pleased with that type of worship.
Jacob, I was hoping that we might get an email, somebody who would get into some of these questions about that were asked by our friend Randy in Missouri when he said, what about some of the chaotic things that people do, hand-raising, dancing, running up and down aisles, jumping up and down, flag-waving? We've included hand-clapping in that. Can you do that during singing time, or could you also do it during sermon time? What about distracting other people? What about yelling out, hallelujah, praise to God, and so forth? He asked, part of that question was, can we apply the principle of 1 Corinthians 14:33 to church meetings in general, not just to tongue speaking or prophesying as was in the context? Let's look at that. I think that's the passage that we really want to emphasize here at the end of our study. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul was giving the church at Corinth and certain instructions about the exercise of miraculous spiritual gifts in their assemblies. And he specifically talks about prophesying and speaking in tongues in their assemblies. And he said, even to those people who were under the direct miraculous influence of the Holy Spirit, now we've studied about miracles before. We don't believe people have miraculous gifts of the Spirit like those in Corinth would have had. But even to those people who were being directly moved by the Spirit of God, they were still to control themselves and conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, it even says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. In other words, people today would argue, oh man, if you've moved by something, shout it out, let it be heard, you know, and almost as though you couldn't control yourself. No, these people who were legitimately under the miraculous influence of the Holy Spirit were still required to control themselves in a disciplined way, because it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If there's just wild, chaotic behavior, everybody doing their own thing, shouting, jumping up and down, running around, that's confusion. And the text specifically says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. But the key verse here is clearly 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, which says, let all things be done decently and in order.
Now, is that instruction obviously is in the context of miraculous gifts. Is that instruction to let all things be done in decency and in order, is that limited to the expression of the miraculous?
I don't think so. What I'm arguing is, if people under the influence of the Holy Spirit who were performing miraculous deeds were still expected to do what they did decently and in order, then why would that not also apply to those who are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, not everybody in the church at Corinth would have had that miraculous power. Some did, some didn't. All were expected to act in a decent and orderly way.
And all things would include those that anything that would be done in worship should be done with decency and in order.
I think that's exactly right. I think that's a key that helps answer the question that was asked. Can we engage in those kind of, you know, spontaneous things? And the word that Randy used in his email was chaotic things. I think the answer has just got to be clearly no. 1 Corinthians 14 was written to regulate the use of spiritual gifts, miraculous spiritual gifts in the assemblies. But the principle set forth still applies. And the principle is, let your worships be decent and orderly, and God still expects that from us, clearly.
Another way that we could worship a God in a way that's not pleasing to Him is by mixing things of this world that would be sinful in nature in with our worship of God. It sounds sort of crazy that people would want to do that, worship, mix in sinful things with worship to God, but yet it is happening. I don't know if you've seen this, Dad, but people have begun having church services at bars, a notorious bar where the waitresses are dressed very scantily, and they go there to worship God. They think, well, it's going to be hard to get people totally out of the bar. Why don't we go there where they are, and we can expose them to God. We can teach them some about Christ, and won't they be better off for it if we can go there? We won't want to make them change too much, right? We don't want to be too righteous for them. We don't want to be too overbearing. We'll go there to that bar where they are, where the waitresses are scantily clad. We'll worship God there, and maybe they'll get some benefit out of it. Certainly God's not pleased by that.
When we mix the things of the world with worship of God, He's not
pleased. And that's happening a lot in the religious world today.
We've got a final email here, Jacob, from Mike in Cullioca, Tennessee. Mike, we're glad you're listening tonight. He mentions yesterday a statue of Billy Graham was on the news and in the paper. They even showed people praying at the statue. This man is not who God expects us to praise. I wonder how Billy Graham would feel about that. Approving that statue, but by virtue of the people praying at, or maybe even praying to the statue of Billy Graham, I don't know what they were doing, whether they're praying to him or just at the statue, but there's too much emphasis there on man, not on God. Billy Graham, nobody else, is to be worshipped. God alone in heaven is to be worshipped.
Well, Dad, I think we had a good discussion about our worship tonight. Appreciate those who participated in the discussion. Some important things to think about, because we want God to be pleased with our worship. And clearly, God will only be pleased with our worship if we do it in the manner that He has instructed us to worship, with the right attitude and the right heart. Those things are required if we're going to be pleasing to God.
I think everybody ought to memorize John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we're going to have acceptable worship, we're going to have to get that right.
You know, we've talked about a lot about the worship experience, and we've talked about the fact that it is not about the experience and what we experience. That's not the most important thing. We're not saying, Dad, that we shouldn't have an experience when we worship, and we're not saying that we shouldn't leave the worship service edified and built up to be more pleasing to God in the future than we have been in the past. What we're saying is that that's not the determining factor in determining what's right or wrong. God's word is what's
exactly right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to end our study on the note that we're not saying we shouldn't be emotional about our worship. We should be very emotional. It should be heartfelt, and it should be a very important experience to us to have worshiped God, but it's got to be according to His word and in His way, and when we do that, we receive a blessing.
That's where we find the true edification, by pleasing God and by worshiping in the way that He has prescribed, not by doing just whatever we want, but by doing what God has instructed us in His Word. Thank you for your time tonight, Dad. Thank you for the discussion.
Glad we could do it. Look forward to our Thursday studies. Hope everybody who's listening tonight will plan to join us next week for the virtual Bible study on Thursday night. If you have an idea for a program, if you have a question you'd like for us to deal with on the program, send us an email anytime, questions@collegeview.com. Thanks to Randy for his suggestion of a topic tonight. We hope that the discussion has been helpful to him and others who are listening.
Thanks to Phil and Nashville for the smooth streaming tonight. And we appreciate you being a part of the program. We hope you make plans to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.